good thing nor a bad thing, like being psychic on the way to lethal injection. It'll sit you down with Lady Day. Lady Day leading you to surrender their souls to Africa too soon. Polity thought floating in a cup of water, she saved me. Accessing my stomach, accessing the love of the American Lynch coat sleeves. Wooden and avalanching to the rest, our mother Emmanuel, avalanching to the sharp keys. Pain, you know, the deal you make with pain, the piano makes sense for them. Laying hands on the world, gradually addressing the bended necks in the streets of the North. Travis sailing in pain, repeating pain in the North. 10 trigger fingers on that piano if harmony would have me. Putting 100 fights on every direction off her Lady Day, leaning on trees again, recruiting the countryside itself, saying, lay your plan out on this lightning, make your poems a corner pocket of men. I've greeted the blues itself. America may clean my dead body, but will never include me. There goes the poet, killing without killing. Never mind this painting of your language. Now be a meaningful lynching. A crow's passing, good and dead by the afternoon. I go to the railroad tracks and follow them to the station of my enemy. A cobalt tooth man pitches pennies at my mugshot negative all over the United States. There are toddlers in the rock. I see why everyone out here got in the big cosmic basket and why blood agreements mean a lot and why I get shot back at. I understand the psycho-spiritual refusal to write white history or take the glass freeway. White skin tattooed on my right forearm. Ricochet sewers near where I collapsed into a rat-infested manhood. My new existence is living graffiti. In the kitchen with a lot of gun cylinders to hack up. House of God in part, no cops in part. My body brings down to Christmas. The new bullets pray over blankets made from the old bullets. Pray over the 28th hour's next beauty mark. Extrajudicial Confederate statue restoration, the waistband before the next protest post. Hey, by the way, time is not an illusion, Your Honor. I will save your desk for less. You're a witty, Your Honor. You're moving money again, Your Honor. It is only raining one thing, non-white cops. And prison guard shadows reminded me of spoiled milk floating on the oil spill in the neighborhood, making a lot of fuss over his demise, a new leg for a Black Panther party. Malcolm X's ballroom jacket slung over my son's shoulder, the figment of village, a new noose to a new white preacher, all in an abstract painting of a president who bought slavery some time. The tangent screeches of military bolts and election Tuesday cars, a cold-blooded study in leg irons, proof that some white people have actually fondled nooses, that sundown couples made their vows of love over opaque piece plastic and bolt-action audiences. The Medgar II is definitely my favorite lost science. Final news clippings and primitive Methodists, my arm changes imperialisms, simple policing versus structural frenzies, elementary school script versus even wider white spectrums, artless bleeding in a challenge of watching civilians think of terrible rituals they have around the corner. They let their elders beg for public mercy. I'm gonna go ahead and sharpen these kids' heads in the arrows myself and see how much gravy spills out of family crest. Modern fans of war, well, with their t-shirt poems and t-shirt guilt and me having on the cheapest pair of shoes on the bus, I have no choice but to read the city walls for signs of my life. You know, all street life to a certain extent starts there. Sometimes with a spiritual memory even. Pre-dawn, soul clap, your father dying even. Maybe I've pushed the city too far. My sensitivities, the landfill districting and minstrel whistles, white supremacists, graffiti on westbound rail guards, all overcome and reauthored. Reauthored by revolutionary violence that chose its own protagonist, a muted stage of genius. You know, the garbage is growing voices. Condensed Marxism for warrior depressives, underpasses in their pockets because they just might be deities, a decent bid on the Panther name, a merciful Marxism. Disquieted home life, a metaphor for relaxing next to a person who is relaxing next to a gun. I stared at my father for a few seconds and returned to my upbringing, returned to the souls of Ohio Black folk, revolution damn near pagan at this point. You know what the clown wants? The respect of the ant. Wants to interpret pain only. Wants to pull a 38 out of a begging bowl, wants me to hurt my hand on this pen. I'm not tired of these rooms, just tired of the world to give them a relativity. My only change of clothes prosecuted, the government has finally learned how to write poems. Shootouts that briefly align and make a parable. Parables like, white bodies are paid well. Do white men even have leaders? Are all white people white men? A rat pictures a river, can almost taste the racial divide. Can almost roll a family member's head into a city hall legislative chamber. Knows who in this good book will fly. All I do is practice, Lord. Decided not to talk out of anger ever again. Met my wife at the same time I met new audience members for our pain. We passed each other cigarettes and watched cops win. The city gone uniquely linear, Harlem of the West, do a true universe. I will always remember you in fancy clothes, my wife said. So here I sit, twisting in silk ideation. Rifle made of postbellum tar, targets made of an honest language. The San Francisco poetry is how God knows it is me whining. Riding among the lesser respected wolves. Lesser observed militarization. Dixieless prison bookkeeping, I mean the California great coats are coming. Lynch Mob Gossip and Bourgeois Debt Collection, I mean, it's tempting to change professions mid-poem. In the Chicago briefing, the white sergeant saying, blank slate for all of us after this black organizer is dead. Standard academics toasting two-buck wine at the tank rate. Bay of nothing, Lord. Just nuclear cobblestones, gun line athleticism, and the last of the inherited asthma. Children given white dolls to play with in fear, facial expressions borrowed from rich people's shoestrings. I can hear hate and teach hate and call tools by people names and name people dead to themselves. No one getting naturalized except fair legends soon. Carving the equator in the throat. So I'm sorry to make you relive all of this, Lord. All of this pre-dime monarchy friends putting up politician posters and snorting the remainder of the paste, minstrel script shoveled into the walls by their elders. My children sharpening quarters on the city's edge. For these audiences, I project myself into a ghost-like state. For these gangsters, I do the same. Every now and then, take a nervous look east. I mean, sleep becomes Christ. Sleep starts growing a racial identity. Do you ever spiral, Lord? Has the gang age betrayed us? Be patient with my poems, Lord. So much pain, it's a point to crime. I mean, it has to be if race traitors come with it, Lord. Is that my revolver in your hand? You know, better presidents than these of yonder cages have called us holy slaves, filled the school libraries with cop documentaries. Baby, I don't have money for food. I don't have a present moment at all. I talk facing away from the dead. They replace me with the change in my pocket, a penny that's yet to be invented. They say, you have to know how to cut a throat on the way to cutting a throat. After sleeping on a mattress made from two garbage bags of clothes, I became content with the small gestures of plantation fries. I mean, playing with couch ashes, I realized how weird the universe was. It exists in so many places. So many random things that interrupts me while I'm trying to dream. Like your clay correspondence, Lord. Hey, to be transparent, I have 20 books X to a bullet, like an old man giving advice at the beginning of a revolution. I've really done it, Lord. Explored the mumbles of my mind. Explored what's naturally there, and I found no brainwashing. I found Africa, Lord. I have a future. It takes place in the diasporic South. I have morning possessions, modern militancy. I mean, windows to the South. I'll walk on a missile for food. I guess you will not want flowers for a few years, Lord. Will I be tied face to face with the country I murdered merged with us, Lord? Our old metal versus new metal. Our old metal versus a pool of meandering imperialist faces and multiculturalism. So it's dead replace me with a comedian's chest cavity instead of a chest cavity held tight. It takes a violent middleman for me to talk to myself. Stories that travel through other people's stories. A song about a song, a hemisphere about a hemisphere. Stories that travel through a conquered poet. Man, my mother remembers Africa, Lord. She killed on behalf of you, Lord. I wore a machete all winter and no one asked me what it meant. I read 1,000 books in front of the world. What I do is fight poems and sleep through decadent San Francisco prayer circles. Watch people play for post-working class associative services or recreations of a governor's desk, ruling class art of utility, playing find a sociopathic bureaucrat. I mean, a day some white people scare even easier. TV in a basket, I mean, next to a ceramic baby, wearing ceramic armor, musket progeny, fantasizing through the art of the poor, their trendy latches locked before God. Black art hunted down like a dog. A hand over my friends, Lord. Lord, I think I'm going to die in a war. Unelected white people in my small house, like a blues song with no spiritual effect, a dollhouse H-bomb, a pony show near dead bodies, apartheid weddings that go right, apartheid white people who give birth to mathematicians, the spiritual continuity of barracks and police stations, a chemical interpretation of a Sunday trip to church, church smells in their pockets, a river mistaken for a talking river, no autobiography outside of small personal victories of violence and drug use, made in the image of God trinkets, a white abolitionist confided in their children about. Chemical assurances that they will switch from black artist to white artist, from black God to white God, from black worker to white worker. I think about you cautiously, Lord. In the same way I think about my childhood. Foxhole Friday nights, most of life is mute. A comedian points out a planner spill to a priest. King Cotton, King Revolutionary, the Bible Central, containing all modes of shallow introduction, introducing an unlisted planner class, speaking about fevers and balance sheets, and reassuring the masses that we can figure out our fathers later. You know, a priest took my mother lightly, Lord. Stood in front of parishioners, re-raveling fantasies about black art. Priest reading confidently before I broke him and broke his parallel. You know, after the day, I've never been a poet before. Little brother watches his big brother's friend and leave rifles on shelter walls. They agree with me and call it literature. It's a simple matter, this revolution thing. To really lie to no one, to keep nothing godlike, to write a poem for God.
This is Margaret Prescott, host of Sojourner Truth. We're going to take a quick station break. When we return, we'll continue with our special Poetry for Haiti. Stay with us. You won't want to miss this. We'll be right back.
Singing the song for the mother.
Welcome back to Sojourner Truth. And you can check us out on our website at sotrueradio.org. If you're a member of Facebook, you can look for us and like us there. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Our handle there is @SoTrueRadio. And we're also nationwide and worldwide on SoundCloud. You can go to the search bar and type in Sojourner Truth with Margaret Prescott to find us. And today we are going to give a shout out to our SoundCloud listeners in the United States, in the state of New Jersey. And internationally, we'll give a shout out to our SoundCloud listeners throughout the Caribbean region. Now we return to our special Poetry for Haiti, which was organized by Haiti Solidarity campaigners, including the Haiti Emergency Relief Fund. During the second half of our program, you will hear more poetry and commentary from longtime grassroots activists with the Haiti Solidarity Movement. Let's hear from them now.
Many times women have not had a voice throughout history, but one of the ways that women have managed to make their feelings known, their rage about their situation, their interest in social justice, is through poetry. And Devorah Major is certainly within that tradition. Born and raised in California, she served as San Francisco's third poet laureate from 2002 to 2006. She's just returned from Italy, where her sixth book of poetry, With Open Arms, was released in a bilingual edition. In June 2015, she premiered her poetry play, Classic Black, Voices of 19th Century African Americans in San Francisco, at the San Francisco International Arts Festival. She has an amazing biography, which I can't go into now, but A Willow Press Editor's Choice is her seventh book of poetry. Khalifa's Daughter was published by Willow Press in 2020. She performs her work nationally and internationally with and without musicians. And you can find her whole history and everything else, her books, etc., at www.devorahmajor.com. We are so honored to have Devorah here with us today. And Devorah has, as well as Tongo and Changa, have been devoted proponents of Haiti liberation and have always given their voice to justice in Haiti. Thank you, Devorah.
My young brothers and sons by other mothers certainly brought the energy and the righteousness of the word. So let me try to continue that energy. I'm going to start with talking about storms, because I think Haiti is in the midst of a storm, as quite frankly is the planet Earth. As storms gather, wind tears through shuddering trees, the shifting sigh as leaves wither and fall, shrieking squalls spewing fury across ocean crest, murmuring a moaning song with a piercing chill. Icy fevers inhale, the waves surge, swallow unmoored boats, warning of seasons to come, seasons only some will survive. I think what most troubles me, well, I can't even say what most troubles me, it all troubles me, hunger of children, death of, murder of people, but it's violence, and violence is all of that. And so this is part one of a extended poem on violence, just looking at what violence is. A feral shapeshifter, changing its expression, but not its intent. Nightstick or tongue, cartoon caricature or whip, violence seeks to control all in its path. Violence shatters people and things with a whirling storm of pointed anger, pulverizing spirit, bone, sinew, and dream. It flattens heart, drains blood, incinerates community, obliterates family, buries love. Colonizer of countries, subjugator of people, it raises flags and proclaims its victories in the name of all terrors. Violence, arrives like the wind, whispering or with booming explosions as a thrusting energy that seeks to invade, deform, control, destroy. It occupies our dwellings, sits at our tables, uninvited, sleeps in our beds, tearing off the covers, forcing us to the floor. It stands guard at our doorways, allowing in only its anointed brethren and trusted allies, all armed and ready to flatten and obliterate our homes. Sometimes we grow so close to violence, we think it's a family member who gently cradles our throbbing heads between its skeleton fingers, first scraping our temples, drawing blood, and then squeezing like an iron vise until our eyes, blinded, burst from their sockets. This next is a torture song, and sadly, it is true to the moment. Listen, can't you hear it pull the wires and sockets out of our ears? Can't you feel it cut through our waxed delusions? A ragged scream pouring like hot oil inside and around our blistered spirits. Someone is screaming right now. Can't you hear the screams coming from that man, the one who is across the world and yet next door? His screams burn through dark hooded, thick-walled, iron-bolted citadels. And when he screams, he is alone, except for the one who beats him. Shackled and alone, except for the one who watches him get beaten. Tortured and alone, except for us who can hear him underneath the news reports in a corner of our memory. Someone is screaming in this moment. We can hear him weeping and begging and praying until he is stilled, and another takes his place, and another joins in, and another, until the dissonant chords of their knotted howls begin to strangle us. Or maybe it's not those screams we are hearing. Maybe it's a mother screaming as her son is murdered on her doorstep. Or maybe it is his children, their waking and sleeping hours, both wearing the same nightmare face. What I know for sure is someone is screaming right now, at this moment. Someone is being tortured and reviled in the name of a country, or in the name of a god, or in the name of you or me. Someone is screaming. And if it's not us yelling back, calling out, if it's not you, if it's not me screaming stop, screaming no more, screaming louder and louder until we are heard, until we have stopped this torture song, who will be left to listen, to hear, to care? In this incredible book, Haiti, Haiti, and if you'll notice, the second Haiti is spelled with two I's, by Father Jean-Bertrand Aristide. And I wanted to read just a few little snippets out of one of his poems. This has really been, it was an incredible journey through this book. But anyway, this one is called Haiti, Haiti. And within it, he talks about Haiti when you make it H-A-I-T-I-I, and what that really means. And it is both in, it's in Creole and Swahili and English, but I'm going to, for the most part, just do the English because I know I don't have an accent in the other language. Hi, hi, hi. Many people know the name of our country is Haiti, but not many people understand what this means. Yes, Haiti, what does it mean? Where do the roots of the word come from? Hi, hi, hi. With great courage, Africans declared, no, no, do not. Do not, do not, do not. We do not want, we do not want to leave our hand. We refuse completely, we refuse forever. The white colonists will persecute us, not a problem. The white colonists will torture us, not a problem. The white colonists will always have slaves, not possible. The white colonists will kill us, not a problem. We prefer death to slavery. We swear and swear again, there are two words. First, hi, not. Second, T, obey. Therefore, do not obey. In Swahili, Haiti means do not obey. This is what we say, Haiti, 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 until we become free. Then truly will our name be Haiti. So that's Jean-Bertrand Aristide. And lest you think I have nothing positive, I wanted to end on an up note. First, with It Takes a Moment, which I'm starting with a quote from Audre Lorde. Even the smallest victory is never to be taken for granted. Each victory must be applauded because it is so easy to not battle at all, to just accept and call that acceptance inevitable. Again, that was Audre Lorde. We know of storms and barricades, and we know of changing tides. We have been wave after wave after wave, searching together, reshaping the land, human in our fragilities, human in our strength. We have stood still, slipped backwards, pushed forward, are pushing still because there is further to go. There was a time when it was harder to stand, but we stood, harder to step forward, but we strode, harder to speak out, but we sang together. It took a movement then, it takes a movement now. History is nothing but moments strung together, moments of passion and moments of pain, moments of hunger and moments of feast, moments of forbearance and of rage. But somehow when we climb into those moments, together we expand the reasons for celebration. Together we reduce the amount of toil, of injustice, of fear. We are at a crossroads once again, our time once again to smooth the road we walk upon, to stand up, to step forward, to speak out. We are never the beginning. We are never the end, but we are always at the front. We who know of dirty fingers and hard work, we who tend the births and the deaths, we who teach and guard, guide and attend, plant and reap, clean and cook, paint and sculpt, investigate and report, and care for more than each other and our charges. We are a movement, moving past indecision, moving past fear, past resignation, past tired, past disgusted, past overwhelmed and disillusioned. We are a movement, remembering our victories, however large, however small, and carrying them into tomorrow while moving from the impossible to the possible. And I would like to close with this. I'm not a deist, but I find both spirituality and wisdom in the books of all of the faiths and the teachings of those that are even not in books such as Ifa. But this particular one comes from the Bible. Who shall inherit the earth? In Amharic, the correct translation was not the meek, broken, crushed, humiliated, low, who would inherit the earth, but the gentle. And we are inheriting these streets, even as we sleep on them and are swept up only to return. Sharp the edges of so many of our lives, fierce with hunger and pain, so much disillusionment, and so very few triumphs. Even as the ruler squeezed tighter, cutting short our breath, hobbling our steps, harnessed together, we will inherit the earth, such as it is, sad with violence and pestilence, the air clotted and gray, islands covered with an ever-rising sea, turning, turning, still it is becoming ours, even as they wage their gruesome war, killing and selling, buying and exporting death, advertising the price for each kill factored into the decision to research, develop, manufacture, and buy the newest weapon to kill more quickly, more anonymously. Even in the face of this hegemony of arms, every side buys from every side sells to every side, even the pawns choose their weapons, aim, fire, and die. Still, we gentle are joining together more and more tightly, inheriting the earth from these others who want only to have, to hold, to own, to control, as if they were hurricane and sun, arrogant in their perceived power, not understanding that all of it will explode or else disintegrate, and they will be left with misshapen, impotent stories of the times that used to be, while we will remain remembering our many losses along the way, still wounded and reeling, we gentle will inherit the earth and pull out our seed stock and begin to plant anew. The Amharic translation goes, blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Thank you.
we're out of time. I'd like to thank all of the speakers featured in today's show. We'd like to thank Pierre Laboisier, also the Haiti Emergency Relief Fund and the Haiti Action Committee for allowing us to share their audio with you. I would also like to thank the Sojourner Truth team, Romero Funes, our assistant producer, and today's audio engineer. If you'd like a copy of today's show, you can contact the Pacifica Radio Archives at 1-800-735-0230 or go online to pacificaradioarchives.org. Remember to visit our website, SoTrueRadio.org, and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at SoTrueRadio. This is your host, Margaret Prescott, and you all remember, please stay safe.
Singing. You're listening to KBOO Portland.
Want to help shorten KBOO's upcoming membership drive? Then go to kboo.fm and click on the donate button to become a member of KBOO today. The more we raise before the start of the next membership drive, the shorter we can make it. So show your support for community radio and shorter membership drives at kboo.fm/give.
From the studios of KPFA in Berkeley, California, it's Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. My name is Mike Biggs. Today on the program, we're proud to rebroadcast a recent interview with award-winning poet Martina Spada and activist Camila Perez Bustillo. All this straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned.